Hey guys, Albert here. So, as you guys know, me and Jia Ming we live in Southern California, close to the fire, but not that close to the fire. We're fine. Just off the bat, we're gonna say it right now. We're fine. I'm sure you've seen our posts on Instagram, at least mine. We're fine. Don't worry about it. Anna's in San Diego, so and Ruthie is all in New York. Right now, we're fine. Ruthie and Anna aren't on the show. It's not because of anything, but they're on the show today. So it's just me and Anna. Sausage party. Hi, John. Did
You said just me and Anna, by the way.
I say
Look at that. You know what that is? That's called smoke inhalation. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Somebody's loopy. Somebody's breathing too much flame. Somebody's not okay, obviously. And
have.
also, I don't want to disparage our listeners. But I don't think anybody gives a rat's ass how we are. You know what I mean? I think they got other concerns. But if they do care, that's fine. That's nice.
Well, no, that is true. That is nice. That is nice. Did I have anybody ask if I was okay?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, I did. There were some people. There were some people who cared.
Maybe too much of an assumption.
There were some people I know who are out of state that did ask. So yeah, so there's that. Okay. Anyways, on with the show. Welcome to the Stuff and Junk Show. We share our opinions and random subjects from interesting news, social topics, pop culture, our likes and dislikes, things you've seen, heard, or read, or we did, and what we do. You know, stuff and junk. Hello, my name is Albert.
This is Johnny.
And this is Anna. This is Rudy.
That's it. That's all you got, man.
That's all you got.
I don't tell you. They evacuated from this podcast. That's what they did. That's what the other co-hosts did. They got out of here. They got out of here real quick. Good Lord.
You saw me post it on Instagram. If you follow me on Instagram, I did go to the Screen Crush live thing. Listeners, if you're not familiar with Screen Crush, it's a YouTube channel. They do mostly like recap videos and whatnot, Easter egg videos, that kind of thing.
In terms of power rankings, Easter egg video, YouTubers, I would say they're in the top five. I think, you know what I mean? Maybe new rock star is number one, but Screen Crush is somewhere in the top five, I would say, right?
I don't have a ranking, tell you the truth, because I'm pretty discriminatory about a lot of these Easter egg sites. I only need one.
Yeah.
But honestly, and they're the ones that I fell on. I think it's partly because one of the co-hosts is a dog. So,
well,
so
it's an ongoing bit.
Yeah, it is a bit. The dog. So Screen Crush had a live tour that they're doing right now across the country. And this past Sunday, as of this recording, they headed in LA, right?
So, I believe the main guy is based in Ohio, my understanding.
Is he? I thought he was from New York.
No, I think somewhere in the Midwest. I want to say Ohio. Somewhere it's mentioned. Cause I watch this video after I watch a movie or TV show and stuff like that. It's one of my go-to YouTubers. I think somewhere along the way, I think it's somewhere in Ohio, I want to say.
Ohio.
I guess it doesn't really make a difference for this podcast. I'm sorry, I brought it up.
That's quite okay. Oh, but the thing is, let's see, I'm not even stuck up in the whole York thing. Because I could have sworn he said something about the dogs in New York, blah, blah, blah. But anyways, so if listeners, if you're not familiar with Screen Crush, I will check it out, especially if you like a lot of, they do a lot of the Marvel stuff, Disney stuff, not a lot of Disney stuff, well, mostly Marvel stuff. Marvel, Star Wars, they do a lot of that. They don't do
basically
everything.
fandom stuff, pop culture stuff. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
But
we're talking your Star Wars, your Marvels, your Aliens, is the Aliens movie and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that sort of thing.
But they don't do everything. I mean, like they're doing Severance, but I believe that's the only Apple TV Plus show that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it is specific. But
yeah.
But in terms of fandom stuff, they're definitely one of the sites that you want to check out at least, right?
Yeah, it depends on if it's non like. It's if it's non Marvel DC, it depends on how high it goes on the zeitgeist. You know what I mean? The pop culture zeitgeist. You know what I mean? Did they do anything regarding Squid Game?
They did Squid Game, I believe. So
yeah, See, but if it's not necessarily nerd stuff or fandom stuff, if it gets popular enough though, they'll break it down. They'll do an Easter video.
True, but going back to the live thing, so they had it in Inglewood, and Inglewood, if you're not familiar with LA, it's actually nearby LAX, which is the Los Angeles airport, right? And a week before this happened, I mean, with the wildfires happening in LA, I was going like, are they going to cancel the show? Because who knows, right? And as the day goes and the day off happen, you know, you don't hear anything about LAA closing down the airport. So clearly the show is going to go on. The show did go on. And I've never really been to that neighborhood of Inglewood. And so I wasn't sure what to expect. But it's like a small downtown area kind of thing. And it was in the classic Miracle Theater, one of those like buildings in LA that is a historical landmark that, you know, it's standing because of that fact. I believe there was like a note there where it's old enough that it doesn't have like facilities for wheelchair people kind of thing. So it's one of those things like, oh, please email us so we can try to accommodate you, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, so it's a nice, quiet old theater, something like you'll see in like 60s movies, 50s movies. And it's a pretty simple setup. They have a big giant screen. It's usually the backdrop of what they usually show in their show, which is like the video store kind of thing. And they essentially did somewhat similar content like they do on the site, but not too similar because you can just watch it on video and what's the point of having a live thing. So in a sense, it's like a Comic-Con panel. That's essentially what it is, right? They have a couple of skits in between, but it's essentially like a Comic-Con panel. They did a whole bit where he was doing Easter eggs for the first Superman movie, which was entertaining. And he said, this is like, we're not going to do this in video. So you live on this, get to see us do it live.
The Richard Donner one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And he pointed out a couple of funny things about it kind of thing. For people who are fans of Hollywood Babylon, it's no different than when Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman does the same thing where things that shouldn't be kind of thing in movies and TV. He was kind of doing the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was like, he had The Real Rejects, which is another YouTube channel, and another person from another YouTube channel joined them on the panel list, and they were talking about, you know, Star Trek, what people like. You know, they brought up...
It's called a crossover. It's a crossover event.
YouTubers
unite.
Yeah. So I'm not familiar with The Real Rejects. I think I saw their channel once, and I'm like, I don't need to watch this again.
Yeah.
No shade to them, but especially since one of them is like a Filipino American, so...
Mm-hmm.
No shade to them. I don't think the things they like are necessarily the things I like. And I made it a point on my YouTube subscription list to kind of just follow the ones that I can accommodate with because time is precious. I don't need to watch negative stuff online if I can help it. So I think I put them on the list of like, I don't need to watch that.
With respect, there's plenty of YouTubers out there giving hot takes and opinions and stuff like that. At some point, I had this problem. At some point, when you subscribe to too many of them and you go through too many, you spend more time on YouTube than actually experiencing the art itself. You know what I mean?
Not the truth.
You know what I mean? So that's something that I was cognizant of a few years ago. That's when I started hitting. So that's when I started doing the unsubscribing. Mm. You know what I mean? So yeah. So,
yeah. I totally understand. I'm kind of in the process.
I totally know that name too. The Real Reject. I know. It's one of those things where if a Marvel, like say, Captain America will come out in a couple of weeks, right? If you Google YouTube Captain America, around that time, they're gonna, you have a review of from them. You know what I mean? It's one of dozens and dozens of you know, review sites on YouTube and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So yeah.
Yeah. And then the other person they had was, I forgot her name. I think she's also part of she is part of another YouTube channel. It is Whitney Van Lanningham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds familiar. She's in.
Yes.
Do you remember what YouTube channel she's from?
I think she's more of like a, my understanding is she's more of a free agent type. You know what I mean? She'll bounce from websites to websites and stuff like that. I think I've seen her stuff on Nerdist at one point, and also New Rockstar. You know what I mean? But you know, and what was that one word? That's kind of, they're not defunct. Screen Junkies. I think she was on Screen Junkies for a little bit too. Oh,
okay, and she's she's also written some movies apparently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, imagine that. Well, I see new rock stars on the list here as well.
Mm-hmm.
She was more my vibe, actually. And the stuff that she was saying are stuff that I liked, you know, kind of thing. Yes. And apparently she's really huge into animation, so she does animation stuff. And apparently, I just found right here, she's on the YouTube channel Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
I was about to subscribe, but I noticed all their videos are like 35 to an hour long. And I'm like, I don't need another
YouTube channel that's super long. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, you spend more time on these. You can do go down a rabbit hole. And you spend more time on the YouTube page than actually watching TV shows and movies and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, it's okay. It's a bit much.
Yeah. So it was a fun show. I mean, I don't really have much to say about it, unless you're not familiar with the show, unless you're familiar with the show. But yeah. it was like a Comic-Con panel, and it was just like an extended one, like an hour and a half long kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it was good. It was good. I mean, if you're a fan of Screen Crush, I'll definitely go check it out, the live show, if you can. And
how much did it cost?
I think I got the one with the meet and greet. Mm-hmm. And I think the meet and greet is like an added $30 to the ticket. I think I paid $70 to the ticket. Mm-hmm. This is a ticket I bought like months ago. Right.
Yeah. Before was
I bought
it parking?
Before I bought my car. No, it's in just free parking in the street kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
So I bought it like months ago. I think if I bought my car first before this went on sale, I probably wouldn't have gone. but it was perfectly fine. It was perfectly fine.
An hour and a half meet and greet afterwards for about $70. That's not bad. $70 plus a little bit of gas, whatever. That's not that bad.
And if you do look at the Instagram, I posted some pictures and a couple of videos. Thing he does address the fire without saying the fire. Mm-hmm. I like how he adds it in his support to one of my videos on YouTube, on Instagram. But he adds in like, oh, and there's not going to be any politics in the show. Politics will stay in the Star Trek movies as they belong. You know, it's Star Wars movie as they belong. I feel like I'm off today. And we'll get to why later on, I guess. But yeah, so there we go. That's my recap of the Screen Crush Live event in the Miracle Theater in Inglewood, California. All right. It's the 835th anniversary of the anniversary. I am completely off today.
Jesus Christ. Good Lord.
Wow.
Can we call Ruthie or Anna? Can they be subbed in? You know what I'm saying? Come on, can they tap in? You can tap out.
I feel like
are we doing wrestling rules? Can you get tap out?
Maybe we should just do one episode today.
Oh Lord. Check in the notes. I'll take over. Oh, that's my show now. I'm the captain now. You know? What do you think of that?
I'm the captain now. It's the they had going back to the Screen Crush real quick. They had this segment called "Who Would You Like to Uncancel?" And maybe that's something that we could play around with in a future segment.
Episode. Oh, sounds dangerous. Sounds like something that would get us canceled.
Yeah. I have it on video too on my Instagram. If you want to check that out. Anyways, take two.
I think they did E Diddy Dirty. What do you think of that? All right, seems like a cool guy.
It's the 835th episode of the show, and as of this recording, it's currently 6:21 p.m., January 13, 2025, in New York. No, Los Angeles, California. How about that, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's time to take a look and see what's up. Now, this story is in New York, and Huntington, New York, actually. So I guess I could have just said 9 p.m., blah, blah, blah.
You're using too many words. Let's just get to the story.
A Long Island woman who no longer drives has been receiving thousands of dollars in tickets from all over the country, mind you, because of her specific themed license plate. If you haven't heard the story, Jiaming, would you like to guess what team is this license plate?
Oh, wait, a team as in sports team?
No, like themed, themed.
What would cause to get a lot of
personalized license plate based on this franchise?
Oh, I was gonna say 69, stuff like that. That'd be funny. Well,
I think that's actually not allowed. Actually,
it's not.
I don't think it's allowed. Actually,
yeah, there's no fun. I don't know. Let's just say it's Stranger Things based? I don't know.
Star Trek.
Oh, okay.
Why? Star Trek? So, yeah. I'm reading this from WHIO TV, Channel 7. It says here, Betta Curry of Huntington, New York, told CBS News New York that when she started to lose her eyesight in 2020, she gave up driving, sold her car, and surrendered her license plate. Now, her license plate was based on the Starship Enterprise. NCC... 1701, right? Okay. But Star Trek fans all over the world has been using this novelty plate and putting them on their vehicles.
Okay.
So whenever people with the fake license plate are getting ticketed, it goes to her.
Uh-huh.
So it's very unfortunate. And I would like to imagine that maybe the DMV would have better records and understanding that she doesn't have this license plate anymore. So why is she still getting these tickets?
Did she get those tickets after she stopped driving? Why did it start after she started driving?
That's what I mean. Like, shouldn't the DMV know this? I mean, come on now. Apparently, it's now illegal to sell vanity plates in New York.
All this sounds fishy. So that doesn't sound right. But did more to the point, did all those tickets get waived? Did she say, "Hey, it's not me"?
Apparently, she has to argue it and tell them like it's not me, essentially, right? And one of the things that is in her defense is that she doesn't have the license plate in the first place.
Yeah.
Plus, New York barely doesn't have vanity license plates in the first place, so it can't be her. But she still has to, you know. I think she hired somebody to take care of this, and I believe it says right here there are 23 summons from other states.
23? Yes. Holy crap! Those Star Trek nerds really get around and stuff like that. Holy cow!
And she says right here, now I'm going to make a hole in the yard and bury these documents, these hundreds of tickets. Wow.
Yeah.
So imagine.
What a pain in the ass. What a bunch of nerds.
Yep. Speaking of nerds, not nerds really. Albert canceled that. Speaking of uncancel Albert's puns and segues.
Mm-hmm. That's going to last.
So this is an old news, and this was spread around a lot last week. This news came out after we recorded last week's episode. But a Waymo passenger gets stuck in a self-driving taxi going in circles.
Oh yeah. I can't read about this.
So I saw this video. This happened in he was headed to Sky Harbor International Airport in Phoenix, and decided to take a Waymo, right? And then the Waymo essentially was in the parking lot going in circles.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why he tried to call Waymo and say, "Hey, can you tell your car to stop doing this?" And apparently, they can't do anything about it.
I'm trapped. This is like the worst action movie. The premise, you know? I'm trapped.
This is speed. Speed three.
15 miles per hour.
This is speed three. Waymo.
Good lord. Let me ask you this: is there? I guess this is a thing now where you can order self-driving Ubers, taxi, whatever.
Yeah.
Is there any force in the universe, anything that would compel you to actually order one of these dopey things?
Curiosity. You know what I mean? That's all it is. For me, it would be absolute curiosity. I was driving to another event the previous week, and I saw a car with a thing on top of it. My first thought was that, oh, hey, it's the Google Maps car. And then I thought about it, like, that's not the Google Maps car. That's the freaking Waymo. You know, so I saw Waymo car go by me, right? And so I guess they are around, you know. So one of these days, I would like to have the experience. Just like, not like an important, like I need to be somewhere, but just to try it out, you know, kind of thing.
Well, let me ask you another follow-up question, though. Do you have your affairs in order? Like, you have a will, a trust set up? To transfer if anything happens to your friends or family?
That's what seatbelts are for, Jamie. That's what seatbelts are for. Oh,
Lord, man. I'm just saying, just take an Uber. It's fine. You know what I mean? Take a Lyft. It's fine. Humans are fine. You know what I mean? Even self-driving cars for your own personal use, like, you know what? I'm not gonna get that tired. I'm not gonna get that drunk. You know what I mean? I'm gonna be an adult, do adult things. You know what I mean? I'll be able to drive by myself. You know what I mean? It's like, come on.
Yeah, I would say maybe it might be safer to get a Waymo than an Uber if you're drunk. Because, I mean, Ubers are Ubers, but what if it's like one of the serial killer ones, you know? Who knows?
Yeah, I'll take it. What's a higher probability, though? AI doing Skynet or a serial killer as an Uber driver?
Well, I mean, if an AI can't even, like, not go in circles when it can't, you know? I mean, I think we're safe, okay? I mean, come on.
I'm just saying.
I'm gonna wait for the moment where the Waymo just like goes off a cliff or something, and then now we'll talk about not getting on one.
Then I'll go. You know what? See, look at that bottom of the ravine. Look at that.
So it says here, this article on People. The support team member apologizes and admits that she cannot remotely control the car.
Oh, that's right. How did it end? I never got that far.
So it says here, it's
jump out. That'd be funny.
So he says here, instead asking John, the passenger, to press a button within the Waymo app on his end. She does, however, note that she is finding a spot to pull over and temporarily pausing the ride.
Mm.
So I guess that was the reason why he was able to get out, to slowly to pull over, essentially.
Yeah.
It doesn't say here if he decided to, like, get a real car, get an Uber to go to the airport, because, you know. I mean, he has nothing to like lose but say, yeah, after this I went ahead and called an Uber. You know, it's like, you know. Yeah. But you know, if I was trying to get to the airport and Waymos are still new, which they are, I wouldn't choose a Waymo, right? I mean, in your example, I would go ahead and choose an Uber or Lyft, you know. And I mean, I've done that in the past. I don't do it all the time, but when I sold my previous car, I went ahead and got a Lyft because it was offered for free. I said, why not? You know.
Yeah. I use every time I make my trip overseas, I usually take a Lyft to the Ontario airport. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I don't have a choice. There was that one time in Comic-Con where I was out late enough that the trolleys stopped running. This is back when the trolleys weren't running 24/7. And like, oh shit, I missed my trolley, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
The last trolley of the night. So I had to get a Lyft, you know. So it's like one of those things.
If that app opens and they gave me a self-driving option, I would say nope. I'm gonna swipe right. I think right. No, right left. I say nope.
I still wouldn't mind trying a Waymo one of these days. Just to see. CES happened last week as of this recording, and there were some interesting things that they went ahead and revealed. For the most part, CES to me is just like, oh, what new TVs are they going to have? You know, kind of thing. But this year, it seemed like they had a lot of stuff that might actually be useful. There's actually like a segment which I'll post on the show notes where they talk about like new tech that they're showing to showcase stuff that will help you against fire. You know, and I thought that was very
water.
No, besides water, there was one.
I've seen legislation that helps prevent climate change.
No. Like to protect your house from fire, that kind of thing. It's like there's like one where a security camera, if it sees fire, it will like sound an alarm, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, or there's just like
smoke detector.
I mean, that's already like something that's already exists. There's one where it's like a robot where if there's a fire and you want to protect your house, decrease the chance of getting it caught on fire, this robot will like shoot off these particulates up in the air. That's supposed to decrease the chances of a fire falling into your house, kind of thing, and that's it, kind of neat too, you know. So it's like they have some stuff. They have, speaking of houses, they had like a curved solar, you know, like the shingles in the house on the top of the roof, shaped like that, but they're solar, so the whole roof is essentially a solar roof. Mm-hmm. You know, there's that, and also solar. They were also showcasing some cars that run on solar, you know, kind of thing. And there were all these gadgets in CES this year that I thought might be pretty useful. So I'll leave some videos on the show notes if you haven't bothered to look. You guys should check that out. I thought a lot of the stuff were interesting. There's even that one video, I'm not sure if you saw, Jomang, where they had essentially what looked like a real doll. But it's an AI companion, you know. So
the rebranding sex dolls.
I don't know, because when I looked at them, I'm like, is that a real doll? And then they're like, no, this is an AI companion, and you can like make it like give you impressions of happiness or sadness or whatever. And I'm like,
I would have asked, is this a real doll? Oh, is this a real doll?
Yeah, if you were there, you're like, hey, is this a real doll? if any journalist ever asked that question to them, you know, it's not on the videos. Maybe like, hey, off the record, is this a real doll?
No, but seriously. Man to man here. Mono and mono. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, the models they showed in the videos are all females for some reason. So go figure, right?
Well, they know the audience. They know the demographic. Come on, man.
And that's what's up.
What is up?
You can find this podcast on Instagram, Blue Sky Trends, and YouTube at Stuff Junk Show. You can find me, Albert, on Instagram, Blue Sky Trends, and YouTube. No, not on YouTube. At Albert5x5.
Look at that. Again, smoke inhalation. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Bad for you. You can find me on the social media, JIAMINGLOU.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. I was supposed to say I'm also on Letterboxd. That's what it is.
Really?
Yeah. Music has been provided by Gloomy June. Updates, contact info, ways to support us, and everything else is on the show notes found on whowhatworstwhite.com. Before we wrap things up, we'll go ahead and address the elephant in the room. The wildfires in LA. Horrible things going on right now in Los Angeles. This is still present tense because that's what's recording the winds are still blowing in California. Mm-hmm. The fires have not been burned out yet. Mm-hmm. So they haven't been controlled yet. Well, there's some control, but, you know, a lot of damage has been done.
It's heading in the right direction, but unfortunately, there's a forecast for winds to pick back up tomorrow, Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things that you normally see in natural disasters in like other states, other countries, or whatever, the majority of the time, I am generalizing here. Majority of the time, the thought in my head is like, well, I don't know anybody over there, right? So when I feel sorry for what's going on over there, there's never really a personal touch to the situation, except now, you know, because I know people who were affected by this fire, you know, people who had to evacuate and all that stuff. So, and is it the same way with you too, Jiaming, or no?
No, okay, because I'm an elevated individual. I'm progressive, open third eye.
Where are we going with this?
We all have a common humanity and stuff like that. Your pain, whether it's across the world, is my pain as well. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm asking you is if you knew anybody personally affected by the fires.
No, I don't want to leave it there. No, I didn't realize that I had a personal, connection to the fire until the text message came through. Oh, that's right. I have a friend that lives actually in Pasadena and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there we go.
So yeah. And then my other friend was actually wanted to send it this text and say, hey, are you guys okay? I heard the fire in Pasadena and stuff. And then as far as I know, they're okay. They're a little bit, it's in Pasadena, but it's like North Pasadena, mostly in, Altadena, right?
Yes.
But, and they're a little bit south of that, a little south part of Pasadena near the Rose Bowl. So I think they're okay and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then my other friend lives in Burbank, which is too close to comfort for the Pacific Palisades. I think they were all under evacuation order at some point, but nothing too bad.
Yeah. There is this video that I'll share in the show notes. I think it's an Instagram link. I think what could possibly be the very first video of the Eaton fire erupting. You know, mm-hmm. It was, and they show a video of one of the electrical towers. With flames underneath that, you know, so it's like that might, and this, they're saying that this might actually be the very first video of that fire when it first started, and check out that video. It's scary stuff happening,
but it's really bad. Yeah. I would say if in my lifetime, what is it? I'm 47. I've been living in LA since I was 10. So in my 37 years, I think this is the top two natural disasters that I've experienced. The number one being the Whittier earthquake back in the day. I was here for that, and it's this fire basically.
But out of all those fires, I don't know anybody that like lost their house or had to evacuate personally. Mm-hmm. Right, like I know people who lived nearby the fires, but they never got to the point where they had to evacuate or whatnot. But this is the first one where
my cousin lives in that area, but she had to evacuate, but it wasn't really, it didn't end up being that close to her and stuff like that. It's more precautionary. And over the years, not this fire, but over the years, my uncle lives in the mountains Monrovia. And they, every few years, the fire, you know, they would have to evacuate because it's in the hills, the mountain areas, stuff like that. But I think this is the one where, again, I'm not personally, I wasn't personally affected by it yet, but this is a massive, this is what we're talking about. Like what? 200, almost 200,000 people got evacuated. 5,000. I don't know what the final count, what the count is right now, but 5,000 structures been destroyed. It's a massive, it's a big disaster, man.
Yeah,
it's huge.
It's supposed to be pretty. Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. I mean, there's four fires, you know, that they're fighting. I know California is mostly, people talk about when they think about natural disaster, they think about like earthquakes, right? Mm-hmm. But personally, for me, I think fire is scarier than earthquakes.
Yeah, it's. I would associate forest fires or fires in general more with Los Angeles now. You know what I mean? It's. What was the last bad one? The last bad one was like 2 or 3 years ago, the Malibu fires, right?
Right.
So yeah. So it's. They're getting more intense and more frequent and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Of course, climate change and all that stuff. But yeah, it's really bad. It's really bad.
And then I believe the worst fire that California had was the one in the city in Paradise, that Paradise City one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the whole city was demolished, essentially.
Is that the Pacific Palisades, the one right now, or a different one?
No, Paradise is the one from years ago.
Oh.
The Pacific Palisades is the one that's going on right now, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And that one is like pretty bad too. It's really bad. But I think people are saying that the Paradise one is the worst currently because just the whole city is just gone.
Yeah. You know?
So did you download the Watch Duty app? Because that's the one that a lot of people said, you should download this. Yeah, I went ahead and downloaded it, and I've been looking at it every time, and I get the notifications and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
According to this right now, the Eaton fire is 33% contained. January 13th. Just for the record. And the other ones is the Palisades fire is at 14%. Mm-hmm. See, yeah. I mean, progress is so
low. It's just, it is trending in the right direction. But like I said, what's going to happen in the next couple of days when the winds pick up? Who knows? The other thing I know is as of yesterday, Sunday was the first day when I went outside where I felt like I didn't personally feel the smoke in my eyes or in my throat and stuff like that. Because at the height when it was really bad, I would go outside and, you know, to walk the dog, I would feel like an itch, a little eye watery and stuff like that because of all the, you know, ash and all that stuff. So yesterday was the first time I felt like the air quality and cleared up a little bit.
Yeah. The other one here they have here is the Creek Fire, which is like 90% contained.
Mm-hmm.
You also get the Hearst Fire, which is 97% contained.
Mm-hmm.
What's the thing about the Watch Duty app is you're starting to see like every fire that's popping up, which can be a scary thing because in right now there's also the Vintage Fire. This is in Mission Viejo. It says here it's 0.25 acres. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say anything about containment. It's supposed to be active right now.
Yeah.
So there's that. There's a Jarupa Fire.
Mm-hmm.
That's supposed to be active right now. It's 1 acre currently. No containment right now. And this is updated 10 minutes ago.
I feel like there should be a setting for like, hey, if it's past 1 acre, then we'll alert you. You know, if it's past 2 acres.
Well, maybe there is a setting. But, you know, because
I understand that people need a heads up. You know, I understand people, you know, once a fire starts, people need to be kind of be vigilant and alert. I feel like we don't need to know the 1 acre fire yet. You know what I'm saying?
There was one that is in Anaheim, right? And it was nearby Disneyland. It's like maybe like a few miles away from Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And there was also fire there. And like and I think that one was arson, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if some of this stuff started in arson. Some of the experts said it's not.
Some of
the experts said it wasn't started by arson, but who knows, right?
Yeah.
Well, the experts say it's not. But if it is, I wouldn't be surprised. But
there are some accounts I follow on Instagram where people are posting videos like, hey, is this an arsonist? Or we tackled this guy because we thought he was starting shit and stuff like that. Some of it's legit. Some of it's like, I don't know.
Are you talking about the guy that had a flamethrower?
Was that a flamethrower?
There was a guy with a flamethrower, that they went ahead and tackled because they thought that he was an arsonist. And went, dude, why are you walking around with a freaking flamethrower?
Yeah. So, a lot of kooky people out now, man. Dude.
What is this, Florida?
What's his fascination with fire anyway? You know what I mean? Stop it, people.
Speaking of stop it, people, I do want to go ahead on a slight complaint about the fact that like a lot of Americans, in quote, I guess, are crapping on Los Angeles and going, huh, like serves you right, LA, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, dude, I know I'm hoping listeners of this podcast aren't those people. But for those people who are trying to crap on Los Angeles and saying like they deserve it, or it's only rich people that's affected, it's because of who you voted that this is happening to you, and it's spreading all this misinformation and just downright like hate about the situation is not helpful, and it is very much like another example of the unwarranted and questionable hate that California always gets with a lot of the other states, especially the red states, right? And being somebody in California, I don't normally hear this. I hear it once in a while, but I didn't realize how prevalent it was in other states. Like I know people in other states who say, yeah, they talk about how much they hate California so much. It's like part of the dialogue. And it seems ridiculous, considering the fact that California is the number one state that gives the most to the federal budget, you know, and you figured that there should be some thanks to that. California is the number one state that gives the most to the GOP of the United States. You figured there'll be some thanks for that. we provide a lot of produce to the rest of the country. It's like we do all these things for the United States and they're not doing any effort at all to at least show some compassion to what's going on here in this state. And that's frankly embarrassing. And it's unwarranted. And if you're a person who believes all the lies that Trump has been saying, that Elon Musk has been saying, that a lot of the Republicans have been saying about why the wildfires happened in California, in Los Angeles, and they're making this a political thing instead of like contributing to how they can help, those are people you're not supposed to follow, that you shouldn't follow. And if you're following what they're saying,
you can't unfollow the president. I got news for you. You can't unfollow the president. You know what I'm saying? You got to, by the rules of the election, I think we're supposed to, he's in a position of authority or something like that. And the thing is, my whole two cents, if you have specific criticism of the governor, the mayor and stuff like that, that's fine. That's, if it's sincere, well thought out and with an honest, fair play criticism, that's fine. Yeah, a disaster this big, there's plenty of blame to go around. You know what I'm saying? I have no problem with that. But hey, if you're just saying, hey, it's because California's too woke, it's because of the gays and stuff like that, I don't think you're contributing to the dialogue. You know what I mean? I saw Mel Gibson on Fox News. Yeah, I'm not gonna listen to Mel Gibson in regards to like, you know, our fire policies and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Come on. What are we talking about?
So. Yeah, I mean, they're essentially blaming people that they have to be in charge of natural disasters. I mean, are we blaming other governors for hurricanes and tornadoes and floods? No. We're not. You know,
the thing is, all this stuff is all sort of deflection and noise to kind of point out, to distract us from really dealing with actual policies, actual the nut and bolts of water management, stuff like that. You know what I mean? Online, I'm still not online a lot, but two things that's kind of stood out as far as like valid criticism and stuff. Again, the governor, Los Angeles, anybody can be scrutinized, but the people pointing out to two corporations that are getting their kind of like ass handed to them is the one is the Wonderful Company, I think it's called. They're a company that's owned by this California couple and stuff like that. They're worth like $12 billion, and they're kind of like, they over the years have taken a lot of water for their farm and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's some policy that California them decided like years ago, but they're taking more water than they actually need. And Nestel, another company, a major corporation, are over the years have always siphoned off more money they're allocated to and stuff like that. These are the conversations we should be having. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but that doesn't have anything to do with what's happening with the wildfires, though.
So yes, it does. No. A lot of the fire. One of the complaints the firefighters have is there's not enough water pressure. And stuff.
But that's what I mean, though. A lot of people are talking about that, but that's physics. Okay, when you have fires that are this big, relying on just fire hydrants is not enough, mm-hmm. right? Because fire hydrants are designed to like help out with like a neighborhood, not a whole city, mm-hmm. right? Fire hydrants have a finite amount of water in those hydrants, mm-hmm. and so they will run out. The fact that the firefighters have these big giant fire trucks with lots of water that they go to when the hydrants are empty. Sure, they were empty. Sure, they ran out of pressure. And what did they do? They just move on to the next source of water, which they abundantly have. California has twice the amount of water we have now than we've ever had due to the rain that we had the last season. So we have all the water in the world. We did not run out of water. That's what the firefighters are saying. We didn't run out of water. You know, that's what they're saying right now. They did not run out of water. So any discussion about like not having enough water, that's all BS. Because they never run out of water. We have all the water. Those things.
They have all the water.
They have all the water.
The what are the firefighters complaining about? Not enough resources, not enough money and stuff like that?
Okay, the money thing, we doubled the budget of our fire department since 5 years ago. 5 years ago, now, we have twice the amount of money than we had 5 years ago. So the whole talk about like, oh, they cut
off. But the thing is, sometimes when they say they double the amount of money, that can be misleading. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they have enough money, enough resources and stuff like that.
Though, is that we have more resources than we ever had. And out of all the countries, out of all the states in the U.S., we're the ones that are most prepared for fire. We have twice the amount of firefighters than we had 5 years ago. And we're talking tens of thousands here. Okay. We have like, there was something like 200 million or whatever. The money thing that they're complaining about is
Why are we flying in firefighters from different countries? Why are we using firefighters from jails and stuff like that?
Because this is a huge fire. This is more fire than we've ever had before. We need the bodies. Like, I think a firefighter, one of the fire chiefs said that it takes 3 fire trucks to manage a house. With the amount, there's like 8,000 structures that are on fire. So if you multiply 3 fire trucks to 8,000 structures, you need like 24,000 fire trucks. And he's saying no state has 24,000 fire trucks, especially in one location. That is the volume of what they're facing right now. And that's the reason why it's so hard to stop this fire immediately.
Because the fire disasters, or the thing at the scale of it is scaling higher than the resources we have available.
Yeah.
Is that what you say?
That's what they're saying. That's what the firefighters are saying. Any firefighters said like, oh, they cut out, like the fire chief that famously said, oh, she cut out $50 million in the budget. Yeah. You have twice the money that you had 5 years ago, and they cut off a little bit because they're still currently negotiating to give you guys more money. More money, right? And she's complaining now, oh, they cut off $50 million. That's like saying like I had $50 last week. I have $100 now, and I lost $2. Oh my God, I lost $2. Yeah, but I had more money this week than they had last week. That's essentially kind of what they're saying. Anybody who's complaining about that they don't have enough firefighters, they don't have enough fire trucks, they don't have enough water, I have to say that they're saying that out of bad faith. Because right now, California was prepared to handle a big fire. The problem is that this fire is unprecedented. You got like 4 big fires happening at the same time. If this happened to any other state, they would be even more in trouble than we are. And that's sad because we're struggling right now. So imagine if it was any other state. And we're the ones that are most prepared for a fire. And so all the people in the bad faith actors there are trying to say all these things, but they're not talking about the reality of the situation. And that, to me, is what I'm complaining about.
Yeah, the thing is, but the reality of the situation is hundreds of thousands of houses are burned and stuff like that. If we can't scale up, if this is the worst case scenario, and we can't scale up fast enough, then we're the richest, like you said, we're the richest state in the country. We're in big trouble. You know what I mean?
Isn't this what they said? Isn't this what they said years ago about climate change? Hey, it's only gonna get worse, guys. So in our scale, in our budget, we're able to scale up. We actually did a good job. We doubled the amount of money we had for fire. We doubled the amount of people we have for fire, and it still wasn't enough. So imagine the situation we're currently at. That is the sign of the times. We are freaking in end times, okay? This is climate change at work, making it harder for everybody. Even though we were able to double our capacity to fight fire compared to what it was 5 years ago, it's still not enough.
Yeah.
You know, and that's horrible. That's a horrible thing to think about because it really shows that our country is not prepared. We're not prepared at all for what's coming right now. You know, when the hurricanes hit and they have been hitting, those states haven't been prepared either. And we're not making the effort because nobody's willing to do the hard work to actually make the actual effort to really, really tackle it because nobody cares that
much. This goes back to kind of like what Marshall point and stuff like this. I'll throw another point. We have all the money in the world to do anything, honestly. You know, we're the richest country that's ever existed on the planet. You know what I mean? The thing is, we don't have the political will, the imagination, the willpower, someone to kind of organize everything to do a massive change of our, we have to completely change our society. You know what I mean? We spend like almost 900, they just did the budget for the Defense Department. You know what I mean? $900 billion. You know what I mean? I would feel just as safe if you took $100 billion off and put it into these climate change stuff like that. You know what I mean? I mentioned earlier the whole thing with Nestle and all that. Those are all sort of base tax breaks and stuff to these big giant corporations. You know, they're hogging all the water and stuff like that. That's the point I was trying to get at. You know what I mean? We don't have the willpower, the imagination. You know what I mean? We don't have the media's complicit in all this stuff too, to face what's coming. And this is just, we're doomed basically.
Yeah, it's over. But imagine this though. Out of all the states, we're the ones that are trying to make a difference. trying. The keyword there is we're actually trying to do it. Okay. And we have, there's so many things fighting us, fighting California from actually making a huge difference. Mm-hmm. You know, just the whole thing about like, oh, we were trying to mandate it so that we can get rid of fossil fuel vehicles in 10 years. And people are so against that right now.
Yeah.
This is what I mean. Like Americans are not willing to do the hard work to actually prepare us for the future. And it, I feel like we're just no turning back. We're, this is where we are.
What do you call it? This is why I, as I've gotten older, I just don't believe in capitalism anymore. You know what I mean? There's too much greed and something. Too much unchecked capitalism is not a good thing. You know what I mean? I was on YouTube earlier this year. They were doing a rundown of some of the major, projects that being kind of, finishing for 2025, not in this country, but other countries like China, India, they're building these giant solar panel infrastructure projects and stuff like that. All these light rail kind of things, you know what I mean, to reduce the pollution and all, carbon, but you know, all that stuff. But there's nothing like that in the U.S. You know what I mean? There's nothing on that scale in the U.S. It's embarrassing. You know what I mean? But what are you gonna
do? Well, I mean, if you're using China as an example, I mean, they do have an authoritarian leadership that's willing to do that.
I am not like married to any kind of ideology at this point. You know what I mean? I don't care if you call yourself a capitalist society, authoritarian society, whatever. You know what I mean? As long as you're pro-environment at this point, that's all I care about. I told you that's the story of Guangzhou, right? It's a major city that I go to every year. Over the course of like a year, over the pandemic, when I didn't visit for a couple of years, I go back there. This major city, all their gas burning taxi are gone. They're gone. You know what I mean? They've all been, tens of thousands of vehicles have been replaced by either hybrid or electric cars and stuff like that. And when I get into the electric car, these guys say, oh, this car is only like $10,000 US, blah, blah, blah. I can do my taxi job for the full day without recharging. I go home, there's a charging station next to my apartment. I plug it in. Next day, it's done. The charging's done. There's nothing like that on that scale in America. It's embarrassing. You know?
So you're saying communism is the way to go. Got it.
I mean, not if you're gay. do you like the gay stuff? You know what I mean? Do you like to preach? Do you like to practice religion and stuff like that? Because you know, you might go to some camp. But you know, there's benefits and drawbacks. There's no perfect society and stuff like that. You know what I mean? We say all this stuff about China, about why it's communist and all that. But you know, hey man, there's how many school shootings did they have? You know what I mean? Last year, I'm gonna say zero. So that's what it's worth. You know what I mean?
Are they just not reporting on it?
There's no guns in China. The general public have no guns.
Yeah, same thing with Japan. I know.
Yeah, other thing. There's a documentary. Michael Moore had a documentary a few years ago where he said our whole thing in the U.S. should be just taking ideas from all. We shouldn't be so presumptuous, like we know everything, and we're we know how to invent everything too. Michael Moore says we should go around the world, take the best ideas from all over the world, and apply them here. Do some changes, make improve. But you know, we're stuck talking about, you know, trans students in sports in high school. You know what I mean? Like that's the thing we're stuck on. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean,
Trump talks about like eating dogs and cats.
I feel like I'm at the point now where we have to stop saying we, Jiaming, mm-hmm. because we're definitely not talking about that. Yeah. It's them. It's the freaking Republicans, the freaking maggots who are the ones that are saying those things just to deflect on the actually important stuff that we should be actually talking about.
Yeah. You know what? To those people, you know, just, like I said before this, before the wall, I just stay out of California. That's fine. Just stay out of here. You know what I mean? Like I said, it's not like I'm in love with our mayor, Karen Bass, or Gavin Newsom, but it's better than any kind of state bullshit that they're, you know, out there.
So. The thing is, though, is that they are trying. I'll give Newsom and Bass this. They are trying. Yeah. The problem is that there's so many people that have fought against them that any progress they want to make is hit with a roadblock by the Republicans so they can't progress and actually do something, you know. And that's just like we're happy to just doing things for the common good, you know. Now everything is politics now. If you're following a leader that is sharing all this misinformation, disinformation, these lies about what's going on right now in California with the wildfires and whatnot, those are people that you shouldn't be following. And yeah. if you don't care enough to know that they're saying all these lies and you're still following them, then you're just a bunch of stupid assholes.
Unless they mention specific policies that ex politician has enacted and stuff like that, unless they have provide specifics like a breakdown, they then don't follow them. So if they're just yelling like, "Hey, these California legislators, they're too woke," you're not adding anything. You're not adding any training costs. You're not having a fair, good faith discussion.
Well, I mean, those ones are definitely like obviously they're lying. Obviously, it's all ideology stuff. What I'm concerned about is the ones that we went over right now. The Republicans like to say, "Oh, California ran out of water." Right? Oh, California ran out of water because of a freaking fish. Okay? Has nothing to do with that at all because, once again, firefighters have said, we had water. Okay? Mm-hmm. There are some hydrants that ran out of water. Yes, there's some reservoirs, but the reservoirs are still with water, and we have water. Okay? Mm-hmm. The Republicans are saying about how they cut the money, and we already covered that. Yeah, they cut some money, but we still had lots of money, so that wasn't an issue. There wasn't enough firefighters. We have all the firefighters right now. There's so many of them.
The other thing that made the news, like Allstate, is it Allstate or is it State Farm? There were reports that they've cut their fire protection in their policies recently and stuff like that. And the California the California guy who's in charge of insurance had to step in and said put a 1-year moratorium on doing that. So Allstate and State Farm, whatever, can't do that. You never hear a Republican talk about that sort of thing. They never take on any kind of corporate entity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It doesn't serve the narrative. That's why.
It doesn't serve their pockets either. You know what I mean? That's the other reason why I mentioned the Nestle, the wonderful company, all that stuff. The never mentioned the corporate interests and stuff like the corporate, you know what I mean? They all make it individual, like taking on individual woke legislatures and stuff like that. They're deflecting. They're moving the goalposts. They're moving the discussion from any kind of real discussion about policy and stuff like that. You know, so what are you gonna do?
Yeah, what are you gonna do? And apparently we already talked quite a lot. I mean, it's a strong subject, so yeah. So,
I think it's, I think it's gonna be great. I think the fire is fine.
Oh, you know what, listeners? I really hope by next week we don't have to talk about this.
God, the strangest please. Thing about this, please. Whole, I mean, I know this is tragic, but what I'm about to say is maybe seem a little silly and stuff. The strangest, most bizarre thing is like watching the news and people being interviewed about losing their home, whatever, evacuating. It's really sad, but what's really weird is like they're wearing winter clothes and stuff. You know what I mean? They're wearing jackets and stuff like that. I'm freezing. Like, I usually associate with summertime. You know what I mean? It's like really hot, but it's like that's a real weird disconnect I have.
But
like,
I mean, right now after this recording, it's 53 degrees in California.
I know it's cold.
It's actually surprisingly cold, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just weird. And this, by the way, there's no rain in the forecast, by the way. So we're doing.
Yep. End times. All right. Yep. There you go, listeners. Thanks for hearing this rant. This was episode 835 of the Stuff and Junk Show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this podcast has been a Who With Worst Buy production. You know, people have said that we, just me and you, is like a completely different podcast than when we have Anna and or Ruti.
It's a better podcast. That's what they say. That's what I heard. That's what the people are saying. A lot of people are saying this. You can just leave it there. I think your silence means you agree.
No, let the listeners
get out of here. The no girls club. That's what we're going to rename this podcast.
I'm just saying it's different.